record, and then if you want to rock and roll,
okay, we'll get this going. So we'll call the meeting to order. My clock says 7:07.
Seven p.m.
Okay. So Christian here, Larry.
You're freezing, Sherry.
Larry's absent. John.
John, you're present, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Wilma?
Here.
Thank you. We have a vacancy. So we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, let me share. Guys, seeing the flag okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. All righty. So we have an approval of the agenda. I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second. This is Wilma.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry, absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, on to the consent agenda. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion, Wilma.
Thank you.
I'll second it. John, I'll second it.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. So now we are on to public comment. Do we have any public comment? Okay. So reports. Do the board members have any reports?
I had one thing I wanted to mention. You know, there was that fire in Doyle recently, and I just wanted to say that it was a good thing that we leased out that acreage to, because it was all grazed off, and before then it was a bunch of weeds. So I think that really helped keeping the fire away from coming towards the Doyle area. So just wanted to put that out there, that it was a good decision we made.
Well, yay. I hadn't heard that. And that was a benefit then.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Real benefit, yes.
Nice.
Okay, Miss Executive Director, the floor is yours, or the screen.
Man, everything is like an amazing struggle right now, right? It's just some challenge. You know, the Lassen County Public Health Director came along and said, you're doing distance learning. So that took control away from us to provide the in-person learning that we were having. And now, for anyone that doesn't know, Plumas County has fallen into the below 15% ICU beds. So a lot of businesses will be closing tomorrow, and some changes will happen. The good thing is, under those circumstances, you're still allowed to continue school the way you're doing it currently. So there doesn't need to be any change. Employees can still come to the office. It's considered essential work, and schools are not affected by those closures. So we'll just continue in and all do our best. I heard from the USDA, and I've been talking back and forth to our rep up in Alturas the last couple days, actually pretty regularly now. So we're finally, I think, in a place where everything's in. They're doing really deep reviews of everything. He came back with about 1,000 questions for Nick. on plans. But the truth is, I don't think our plans are all that solid yet. I think that we were waiting to get further along. So I suspect he'll be bringing us some real plans coming up of what the renovation and expansion will look like. And that way we'll all get to finally be there. Mike Colbert is the rep in Alturas's name. And he is going to come down next Wednesday. I'm going to meet him over in Doyle so that he can actually walk the school. He was asking me a lot of questions about, you know, which are portables, which ones do we own, which ones are owned by Fort Sage. It's kind of like, have you been on this property? Because I know he was on the property, the acreage. He'd been on that property before, he had told me, but he's never been to the Doyle school. So he's going to come and meet us. So I think that'll be good so that when, as we're talking with him. But that felt positive that it was moving in that direction. Anyway, just interesting days. I'm ready for, I think everyone else is winter break and hoping that we all get to come back and start back to school on a whatever normal schedule is. But I want to add, I think that the students are doing an amazing job despite the challenges. Our teachers are really, you know, I hate to use that phrase, stepping up, but they are just really putting it out and trying to get kids engaged and involved and keep those relationships going. And I, you know, this is not our first time being made to switch gears in what we're providing. And I think people just kind of went with it a little more easily this time. And that's good. I think everyone's really resilient. And I just want to really give a shout out to what Misty's been doing. She has a whole group of kiddos who go to CYS in Herlong for their childcare because their parents are working there on base. And CYS would not allow the kids to connect to the computers to do Zoom meetings with their teachers. So Misty said, that's it, I'm going. So Misty goes over about 4 days a week and works with kids and helps them connect, and their teachers are doing like an extra Zoom meeting to have sessions with these kids that they're not. How many kiddos are there, Misty?
There's anywhere between, like lately, there's only been about six or seven. A lot of those families are out right now, which kills me. And there's like four employees. Is that crazy? I was like, we'd kill for numbers like this. But, and Miss Vega actually went over with me today. So that was really nice. The kids thought that was a real treat. They were excited. So, yeah.
So I can't see
up to about 15 yeah. of ours, if every kid were to go there, but they're not. It's been really hit and miss.
Mm-hmm. Family's getting quarantined and everything else. So it's complicated. It's just complicated. But really, to go that extra mile and take that extra time, she'd be sitting at her desk getting other stuff done for me. But she's taking care of the kids and doing what her heart is pushing her to do, you know, teach kids and work with them. So bravo, Misty. Really, that's it speaks so loudly of how you care about our kids. Nice work. And I did, if it would be okay, our info item has to do with Miss Pacey Allingham to do her presentation. Pacey, I see you're connected. Can we see you?
Yes, I was just hiding myself for a little bit, trying not to interrupt.
It's all right. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Thanks. So I'll let your teacher or Mrs. Sherman, one of you maybe can introduce and talk a little bit about Pacey.
Sure, I will. I'm Pacey's teacher, and Pacey's a senior this year. She had planned to take the proficiency exam in the spring, but her date was right after everything shut down for COVID. So she didn't get an opportunity to take it. So she has been really working hard. She wants to graduate by the time we go to winter break, and it looks like she's going to do it. And this is part of her just wrapping up her capstone for her mental and behavioral health pathway. So I'll let her fill you on the rest.
Yeah, so I made a slideshow. So I was wondering if I could screen share and just like talk through it. Yeah, I have like a whole thing. That's all right.
Yep, you should be good to go now.
Okay. All right, can you see my screen?
We do.
All right, good to know. All right, can you see the whole screen or...
Yeah. Yeah, we see the whole, the PowerPoint and all the, oh, there you go. Now you got
presentation. Okay. Oh, I have to go to the first one. Okay. So my name is Pacey Ellingham, and I just wanted to thank you guys for inviting me here to present to you guys. So as you can see, effects of exercise on mental health is what I will be presenting on. So ever since I was little, I've loved having hard conversations with people when talking about sensitive subjects such as LGBTQ rights and politics, mental health and environmental issues. I think it's really important to be educated and learn how to communicate effectively. So for my capstone, I chose mental health because when you learn how people process, it allows you to communicate effectively. And I believe if we as a community tackle anxiety and depression, we can create a better society. So what is mental health? The simplest way to describe mental health is it's our emotional and social well-being that affects how we think, feel, and act. And it's important because economically, mental illness affects productivity. So employees who have anxiety or depression struggle, and it creates a tense workforce or work environment where they're unable to focus. They also might experience mood swings and lack of motivation. Depression alone costs our U.S. employers $44 billion each year. Our mental illness rates are increasing dramatically. As of 2018, 20% of our adults experience some form of mental illness. That's 1 in 5. And then that's for our U.S. population, that's 65.5 million people in the entire state of California. Is 39 million. So that's a lot of people. And our high schoolers and teenagers, as of 2018, 50% struggle with some form of anxiety or depression. So most people go to antidepressants or medications. And I wanted to walk through like how that worked. So how medication works is it balances our brain chemicals and releases the happiness drugs known as dopamine and serotonin. And your brain already has these naturally occurring, so it's not introducing any new chemicals. It just helps, you know, get them out of our locked chamber in our brain to allow your body to process them. But it can get dangerous because side effects, some side effects are blurred vision, fatigue, anxiety, and in some extreme cases, it can produce more extreme suicidal thoughts. So I've been looking at something that this is, I've been passionate about this. I was like, okay, well, what can we do to help these people? The best thing we can do for our bodies and our brains is exercise. When we exercise, our heart rate rises up, and then our body naturally processes all the food and all the energy that we've taken in to create fuel for our body. And through that, our brain releases endorphins, which are types of neurotransmitters that help your brain actually process dopamine and serotonin. Also in your hippocampus, which is the part of your brain that processes memory and trauma, it produces new brain cells. So your brain actually physically expands in volume. And then there's other benefits as well, like your improves your focus and your attention span and your ability to sleep. It also improves your gut health and lowers your heart rate. With all of these things combined, you create a chemically balanced brain, which is a happy brain. So then I wanted to go into, I totally forgot all of the slides, taking medication and then exercise. Okay, so how much exercise do you need? You need to get your heart rate up. Second, you need to keep your heart rate up for 30 minutes. Very important, at least 30 minutes, 5 days a week. And then I listed a couple of super easy things that get your heart rate up that are not super tiring and that you can do without having a gym membership. And it's really hard to work out 5 times a week constantly. I know, because try and do that, fail a lot. But the best way to ensure success in exercise is to make it a habit, which means you need to set a schedule and you need to stick to it. It's a lot easier to start when you're young and when you're participating in a group, which is why it's so important for our kids to be in some form of physical exercise in school, especially because our brains aren't fully developed and we're experiencing new hormonal changes and increase in our hormonal levels. And just as like a reminder, like 50% of our high schoolers, that's a lot. So instead of prescribing medication to our high schoolers and young adults, I think that we should prescribe exercise as a preventative measure to fight anxiety. Thank you. And then here's all my sources. And that's it. I'm all done. Oh yeah, any questions, you guys? Oh, I think you're muted. I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I mess up so that I look a little imperfect. Just kidding. No, really, really nice. Pacey, tell us what you want to do when you're done with school. You're pushing to get graduated. What's the plan?
I'm honestly not sure. I know whatever I do, I want to be super involved with community and serve as some form of teacher or leader. So I've looked into maybe being a ballet teacher or maybe just like a high school teacher or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, our independent study is always looking for teachers, right?
Yeah.
Get started. Come our way.
Okay.
You have a little homeschooling experience.
Yes,
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody have any other comments or questions for Pacey?
Yes, she could become a bus driver.
There's that too, yeah.
Misty.
Yeah, Misty would love that. Pacey, you had been taking classes at FRC, weren't you?
Yes, I was. But I don't think I'm gonna, I'm not sure actually, because of COVID and everything. I've also been thinking about the Air Force route and doing something there. They have a great medical program where I've looked into it, and Like, it's kind of like search and rescue. So something like that as well.
Well, you did a great job on your presentation. Very well done.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pacey. And Jared, you've talked to Pacey about Air Force. Yeah. Oh. You should.
That's the best branch around.
Yes, it is.
Being retired Air Force.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I've, my mom said if I wanted to join the military, I had to be Air Force, but I'm pretty happy with that because they provide college education as well. So,
yeah.
Good choice.
Well, good job. Thank you. And congratulations for getting to this point in your education, Pacey.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I'm supposed to leave.
We'll give you Kathy and Marie. Has she met what you needed her to do this evening?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And you don't have to stay.
Yes, definitely. She just had to do the presentation, which you did. Good job, Pacey.
Thanks, Pacey.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She was so little when I first knew her. Oh,
I know. I think I met her when she was 4.
Yeah. First. Christian, I did note that Valerie from DMS is here to do a finance report.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I was going to say, too.
Okay.
Great. All right. Good evening, everyone. Glad to hear you guys have your power back up and running and all that good stuff. Thank you. Had some power outages earlier today. Happy to go through your first interim budget with you guys this evening. So if we want to take a look at the packet from DMS, and page 2 kind of gives the summary overview for Long Valley. We'll start with Long Valley first.
Would it be easier for everybody if I open it on screen?
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's great.
Give me a moment to do that.
I'm happy to share my screen too if you want me to do that, but it's fine.
I wouldn't mind you doing that because then
okay,
you can drive.
Okay, got it. I am right here. So hopefully you guys can see this. So here's our summary for Long Valley, and we're going to project that we're going to end with a budget surplus this year of $339,000. The primary reason for that is that we booked your anticipated PPP loan forgiveness at this particular interim. So we're going to recognize that you're going to be receiving that loan forgiveness and revenue in this year. So the revenues are up by the 414, and that's due in large part because of your PPP loan. Then we have a little bit of increase in spending of about $65,000. Primarily, that's coming from books and supplies, and you received some learning loss mitigation funds, one-time funds, and we're spending those on devices, Chromebook devices and things of that sort. So that's where the increase came from. So that's kind of the overview. If we want to take a look here at the budget summary, this highlights kind of what I recapped, and we're anticipating that net revenue for the year of $349,000. This kind of shows you where things changed from your last budget. And there again is that PPP loan revenue that's the main driver for that difference from your last budget. The next 4 pages are details. And I did kind of make notations next to these when there was a change in an expense, kind of the reason why. So happy to answer any questions at the end about those if you have any. This is kind of where we took into consideration your ADA for the year, where it is right now, where we project it to be the next 2 years after this. Here is your multi-year projection. So again, we're looking at this year with your $339,000 of net revenue, and then where you'll be in the following 2 years. And then here is your cash flow. We've talked about this before, but we have gone ahead and accounted for the deferrals that the state is planning for your LCFF revenue. And you're going to be able to weather that storm and end up with a projection of about $1.2 million in cash at the end of the year. You're going to have a large receivable balance of $911,000. So that is money that is due to the school, but not yet paid at the end of the year, due to all those state deferrals. So but that's kind of...
This says that we don't have to borrow money to make it through horrible state deferrals like we had to do in the, you know, previous deferral time. There's enough cash to do this. So that's fantastic.
Yes, it is, definitely. So that is pretty much it for Long Valley. And I'm happy to field any questions that you might have. And I can flip back to other pages if you would like.
If there's no questions, you'll go on to Thompson Peak.
Absolutely. Okay, so here we are with Thompson Peak. And your summary is that you're going to, we're projecting a budget surplus of almost $79,000. And so that's an increase of $72,000 from your prior budget. Your revenue is increasing by $109,000. And what we did with your PPP loan is, it's really nice. The whole nonprofit as a whole received the loan. And then Sherry was able to decide based on need between the two schools how to allocate those funds. So we allocated 75% or 80%, 75%, I believe, to Long Valley. We gave that bigger chunk of money to Long Valley because of all the challenges related to the increases with the distance learning challenges that the Long Valley campus had. So that's why Thompson Peak, we felt it was best to give them that 25% portion of the PPP loan. So that's why you're not seeing as big of an increase on their particular, on this interim budget. And then had some increase in expenses at $36,000. And again, the bulk of that is coming from the books and supplies being $20,000 higher. And we're using those learning loss mitigation funds in the way that they would like us to do by, you know, buying additional devices, learning devices for your students with that money. So here is a budget summary for Thompson Peak and kind of, again, summarizes what the analysis said earlier. Did the same thing on this one where I tried to notate major changes for you to be able to give some clarity on these detail sheets. And then we go over to your ADA and we're projecting real modest increases. And then you've got your multi-year plan for the next 2 years and where we're expecting things to rest on the MYP. And then here's your cash flow. Again, you're in a good place. And for a second year school with Thompson Peak, ending the year with $645,000 cash on hand. And then an additional $586,000 in receivables because of those state deferrals. So that's where things look from a cash flow perspective.
So just do you mind speaking real quick, Valerie, on the process, right? Just there's a lot of people even attending tonight that don't understand that we have specific times we have to set budgets and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of accountability with the charter school, and we are revising budgets every 90 days. So as you guys know, your school year kind of starts in July and ends in June. So there's a July budget, and that's a big budget. And we start planning for that a few months in advance. And then this is the first interim budget. So this is our first time that we get to take a look at the budget for this fiscal year and recalibrate. And we'll do that again at a second interim budget. And that is March.
March.
Yes, thank you. You guys are my third board meeting, so I'm a little frazzled tonight. Sorry. And then again, 90 days after that, we end the school year and we do what's called an unaudited actual, where we like, how do we end the year as of June 30? What do our actuals look like? We submit all those. We submit the general ledger and all that activity to your auditor. And then it goes through the audit process. And we're going to take a look at the audit next. And that's a look back at 1920 to see how did that year end up. DMS submits all that information to your auditor and we work with them. And they present the final audit to you as of December, by December 15th. So that's kind of just a brief overview of how often we're revisiting these numbers and we're looking at them, making sure that we're, you know, on pace, nothing, there's no outliers there. So happy to answer any questions that you guys might have.
So our action item tonight is to approve the first interim budget, but this is the report and the presentation. So hopefully when we get to that, you'll be ready. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely. The last part of that budget template for you guys is just where we consolidated. If anybody's interested, we take the Long Valley financials with Thompson Peak and we combine them into this consolidated. So just kind of sees how you guys are together as a whole, the two schools. So kind of nice to refer to.
Thank you, Valerie.
Sure. Then if we want to, do you want me to review the audit as well?
I do. So, you know, we've been waiting for the audit. This is taking a whole lot of prodding of getting the auditor to get us a draft. And literally it's in my email tonight.
This is what you call hot off the press, right?
Hot off the press.
Hot so off the press.
I asked Valerie if she would kind of just take us through it since you haven't had this in your hand yet.
Yes. So where we like to start on an audit with a nonprofit is you start at the end because you want to see if there's any findings, right? So we're going to go to the very back page, and this was, there was no findings. So that's where we say, yay, because we don't like findings. We don't want there to be findings. So there are no findings in this audit. So that's what you would refer to as a clean audit. And so go back to the front. And really, as a board member, it's good to take a look at a couple of key pages. And they are, I believe, page 9 for you guys. Okay. So this is your balance sheet, how you guys ended up. And the key number that you want to take a look at here is your net assets. And so Long Valley's net assets are $2.3 million. Thompson Peaks are $754,000 for a combined $3.1 million of net assets. Which is very good.
I want to just point out here one of the, if you go back to that page, mm-hmm. Matthew explained there's some new vocabulary he's required to use for a nonprofit's audit. And it's down there right under the net assets title, and it has to do with donor restrictions. So in school language, we always called it restricted or unrestricted funds. And now, because it's a nonprofit, he's required to use without donor restrictions or with donor restrictions. So,
yes, yeah, exactly.
Which feels a little odd, but okay.
Okay. Yes. And then if we go here to your page 10, this is going to be your statement of activities, which is also an income statement or a profit and loss for a non-profit, right? So what you want to key in here as a board member is you want to look at this line change in net assets. So for Long Valley, the change is $65,184 to the positive. And for Thompson Peak, it's $72,931 for a combined $138,000. So you increased your fund balance by $138,000. And if you were a for-profit business, your net income would be $138,000 for the year. But you're not in the business of making money, you're in the business of educating students. So really strong showing. That's what a charter school should do. They should spend that calendar year's income on the programs for the students and add a little bit to their fund balance every year. So just a really strong fiscal year. And those are kind of the key pages that I like to look at on an audit.
Going through it just to familiarize everybody with the document.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what did you say? You want me to keep going through it?
Keep going through it. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Sure. Okay. This is called Statement of Functional Expenses. It's just regenerating your expenses in a different way. They like to look at how much is spent on. This is kind of a key thing that we key in for you guys because you're considered a non-classroom based school. So we want to have this number, this column right here for expenses under management in general. We want to have that as low as we can. We want the number for program services to be on the high side. We like to show that we're spending the money on the programs and not on a lot of administrative overhead and that kind of thing. So that's the way they package this particular page. This is your cash flow page. Not really anything. And then a lot of, these are some notes to the financial statements. These are kind of a little bit of boilerplate. Let me see if I can get everything on there. Oh, that's probably too small for you guys. Okay. This just kind of talks about the organization and financial presentation with GAAP accounting, contributions, in it talks about your in-lieu revenue, your receivables, cash. We kind of talk about the cash in the county treasury. This is where they call your bank and they confirm that what we have in your general ledger ties out to what the bank says your bank balance is. This is some information here on PERS and STRS retirement. And then here you are with your net assets, with and without donor restrictions, that wording that she referred to. Here's information on your operating leases that you have. This is your fixed assets. So these are things that we capitalize, expenses that we capitalize over time. Let's see here. This talks about what you ended up the year with accounts receivable. So as of the end of June 30th, you were still owed $829,000 for both schools. That's not uncommon. Those are fairly normal accounts receivable for a school. Let's see, property and equipment. Looking at this for the first time here with you. Accounts receivable. Oh, these are the same. Okay, it's Thompson Peak and no, that looks like a duplicate page.
You went backwards.
Oh, well, that's why. Sorry about that. Supplementary information. This is where you guys are. Woohoo, your board member. made the audit. Here is where we talk about your attendance. And that is all looked into and validated, that what you reported to the state ties out to what they received. And then this is the kind of the boilerplate from the CPA talking about his process of going through the audit and how he complies with the state and the CDE. And that's the letter to you as the board members telling you, you know, all the areas, the audit procedures that he performed and findings and recommendations, no findings. That's, we're getting down to the end here. Okay.
Valerie, thanks for walking us through.
Sure.
Appreciate that. He called me this afternoon to have an exit interview. And it's always that, like, okay, quit small talk and tell me. Are there any issues or concerns?
Yeah. Cut to the chase.
Yeah. Tell me. Then you can talk to me.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Good stuff. Thank you.
All right.
I guess, well, we still have Valerie before we continue. Chance to ask, comment. Okay.
All right. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thanks, Valerie.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Okay. So it looks like we're on action items. Is that correct?
That is.
All righty. So let's go to action item A, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the first interim budget. I will make an action, or I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the budget overview for parents for Long Valley and Thompson Peak. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion as stated.
Thank you, John. I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Item C, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a simple plan for student achievement for Long Valley School and Thompson Peak Charter.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma.
I'll second it.
Thank you, John.
John.
All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry is absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Item D, discussion and possible action regarding the acceptance of the 2019-20 audit report. I have a question. Why are we just now getting a draft of this when we have to turn it in by the 15th? Today's the 9th. Didn't they do this last year too?
Yep.
Okay. Just want to make sure my memory.
That was a different company last year. This is pretty industry standard, unfortunately, down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And so what it means is you'll accept this, hopefully. And again, you're not approving it, you're accepting it. It's a formal acceptance of the information. And then I'll work with DMS over the next 24 to 48 hours to just kind of scan it, see if there's anything that doesn't seem right or needs adjusting. And then we'll go back and forth with them if there is something that needs addressing. And then they'll give us the final version and we'll have it by Monday.
Okay.
Which is the 14th.
Hi, I'm sorry, what was the last thing?
That'll be the 14th.
Awesome. Okay. So do we have an emotion to accept the 2019-20 audit report?
I'll make a motion to accept it.
Thank you, Wilma. I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Item E, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of removing administrative regulation number 3002, section 504, due to redundancy.
We have a policy that says exactly the same thing. And we have a booklet that everyone has that tells you what all the steps are that actually has lots more detail. So this was established long ago, and there is no reason for us to have it in our list of policies.
Okay, I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
I heard John first. So all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Item F. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a designation of a board seat from authorizer designee to member at large that would expire. Okay, is that 12/12 or 12/21/2022?
It would be 12/31/2022.
Okay. I will make a motion with the date corrected.
Well, I have a question, Sherry.
I'll second it.
Go ahead, John.
Sherry?
Yeah.
So does that mean that everybody's term will expire 12/31 of 22?
No, on the recommendation that I had sent in the initial packet, I know I've sent you stuff all over the place, where what it would look like now is right now, the term expired 12/31/2020, right? And we had in that group a Portola representative and two members at large. Really? Can you not do this, Sherry? Your brain's not. Right now, we had the Portola member and a member at large. So it was Larry and Christian's seat just expired or is going to expire the end of this month. And they were both reelected. So now their new terms will expire 12/31/2024. Okay, they get a 4-year term. And so your and Wilma, your terms expire in 22, at the end of 22. So that there's always a couple board members that carry forward when terms expire. So it's every 2 years. So what I'm recommending, because we're not going to have another election at this point, I want you to be able to appoint someone to fill that spot. And we'd have to choose at this point now, do we make it expire 12/31/2022 or 12/31/2024? And my recommendation is to go with the 22. That way it can be a proper election at that point. Mm. That answer.
So how many expire in 22 then?
Excuse me?
So how many board members expire in 22?
Three.
Oh, okay.
It has to be three and two, right? So three would expire at that point.
Okay.
And, we have no idea right now Fort Sage has said we don't want to use that position. So we need our at least 5 board members. So I think this makes sense. You know, every community is represented. And there we said in the bylaws that it would then become an at-large board member, but it didn't prescribe exactly what term in this kind of strange place. So that's why you're taking it as a board action to make a determination of what we're doing.
Okay, so I made the motion. Wilma, you second?
Yes.
Okay, so all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of plan for the Alice training. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma.
I'll second it.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry's absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Thank you. Item H, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of CBO training for L.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Wilma. I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry is absent. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
And let's see, we've got future items and updated to our safety plan, an annual reorganization meeting. And we're going to call this meeting done.
7:52?
I say 7:59.
You must be one of those people that set your clock faster so that you're never late, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Okay, I'm going to stop.